Okay, we are the Sheris HaPlate over here, holding up the fort. Baruch Hashem, thanks to the gift of modern technology, we have many of the Talmidim, wherever they are in the world, connecting to Yeshiva, and you should be jealous of us, wherever you are, because we're living the dream. But you're at least connected, so that's something, and we're all going to be mechazik each other. So whoever is here is in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, and is feeling the connection through being in Eretz Yisrael, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim, and whoever is listening from abroad, you're tapping into Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. The best thing that we could offer is pure Torah from Yerushalayim, Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah, and we're gonna try to have a huddle over here for Bein HaZmanim. This is what we like to do. It always requires a huddle. Bein HaZmanim is a time that when I was younger wasn't such a terribly scary time. It was just a technicality. You were leaving yeshiva, spending time with the family, maybe going to a camp or something else, or getting a job, and just, you know, you had all these dreams of what you would do over Bein HaZmanim. Either you did them or you didn't. It wasn't such a big deal. Bein HaZmanim, Rabbi Dreyfus, would you agree that it wasn't, when we were growing up, Bein HaZmanim wasn't such a thing? It was something. Either I was productive for Bein HaZmanim or I wasn't. It didn't really, excuse me for saying it, matter so much. You were fine. But today, Bein HaZmanim represents a lot more. A lot more. And I am humbled by the Bachrim of this generation. We've said this many, many times, that usually there's what's called home court advantage. It works that way in games. In sports, you have a home court. You have your own fans are with you. You do better. You know your court, right? You know everything about it. It's home court advantage, and it's always been that way. That there's no place like home. You know, home is the place where you feel at home, where things work out. And today we found that home is a very scary place for a lot of people. Home is a place where people don't feel as at home. And there's a tremendous fear to go back home. And it's very humbling, because I never had such a nisayon in my life. And therefore, everyone here deserves a lot of respect for going through such a thing. Bein HaZmanim, a lot of times, is filled with very big nisyonos at home. Like, you kind of like wonder, like, what do you want from the poor guy? Like, if somebody was going somewhere bad, fine, he made a decision to go somewhere bad. But a lot of times we're just sitting at home. There's certain rooms in the house that are like, that were in my generation, you could only have this nisayon if you went to the worst place in Manhattan. And that's a room in somebody's house, right? It might be the bathroom, it might be the study, whatever it might be, which is an awesome nisayon. In my generation, the only way somebody could get such a nisayon is to go to the worst place in Manhattan before they cleaned it up. Like, they cleaned up the city before they even cleaned it up. But I was being there. So we have to try to be mechazik ourselves and prepare. The idea of having Yira Shamayim, Kol She Yiraso Kodemes L'Chachmaso, Chachmaso Miskayemes, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, what does it mean that your fear of Hashem is before your Chachma? So I would have said, and this is the way many Mefarshim go, that you should have Yiras Shamayim, and then your Chachma will stay with you. But he's medayik beautifully. Your Yira, your fear, should be before your wisdom. It means that you should think before something happens. Meaning, before you start using your Chachma, you should think in advance. What am I going to encounter later? Your yira should be kodem l'chachmaso, meaning not all of a sudden you're in a bad situation and now you're figuring it out with your chachma, but wait, let's think before what could happen. Let's think before what needs to be done. Let's think before, where are the danger zones in the house? What devices are danger zones? What situations am I going to be in? What types of people am I going to encounter? You know, people say, I'm going to get back together with the boys. Okay, who are the boys? What do they like to do? Okay, it's good to keep relationships. But where are you going to go with the boys? Are they going to take you where they want to go, or are you going to take them where you want to go? A lot of times, if you prepare this before, you can even keep the same relationships, but you can keep control over what happens. The yira has to be kodem l'chachmaso. And we're going to now talk a little bit about this. And the first thing before anything is to really want to succeed. And I'm going to tell you something, but I do think it's true. I do believe it's true. There was once a Rosh Yeshiva from America who was speaking to me and was discussing with me, why is it that people unravel when they get to America? Just like all of the things just start unraveling. And of course there are many answers to this, but I gave him one angle. Again, when you give an angle, you're not saying that's the only reason, but you're giving a good point, which is that I felt that a lot of people don't really want to succeed. They don't really want to. They're in their head, they have in mind that they're already going to fail. And anyone who has that in their mind is doomed for failure. To really want to succeed is a deep-rooted feeling. First of all, belief in yourself. A person can believe in himself, that he can have self-control, that he can make the right decisions, and he has to really want it. He has to really want it. So when someone has a not good ben azmanim, one of the reasons could be that he didn't really want to have a good ben azmanim. So the first thing we have to do is ask ourselves how much we want something, how much we want to succeed. And when a person wants something badly, there's tremendous siyata dishmaya. When you really want to succeed, and it's shaykh to this week's parsha, it's a gemara in Makkos. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Lazar, b'derech she'adam rotza leilich b'malichnoso." In the way that you want to go, Hashem sends you on that way. And the Gemara says it has rayas from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. What are the rayas? So one of the rayas is Bilam. Bilam, Hashem says, "Don't go with them." Right? This is a very hard parsha to learn, by the way. Bilam seems like a very religious person. Every time I read the parsha, I get fooled by him. He's a very... By the way, it's always that way. The real, real bad guys, it's not really clear how bad they are. Like, they know how to talk. He's like, if you give me all the gold and all the... And you have to, like, read the Rashis to figure out what Bilam really meant. It's like, he's very inspiring. I feel like he's giving, like, a very big Musar Shmuz. All the kavod in the world, I will never go against Hashem. And, like, Rashi says, like, I would love to go against Hashem, and it's more, the more the merrier, but, you know, I'm stuck with this Rabbona Shalom who, you know... But that's Bilam. Bilam Moseh Lechi Mahim. It's not a Viksiv Kum Lechi Tam. All of a sudden, he gets a message. Go with them. What happened? Hashem changed his mind. Says the Marsha. The Marsha over here says a beautiful understanding of what's going on. He says that whenever a person has a machshava, a dibur, a maisa, a thought, speech, or action, they create malachim. They create angels. And he says that when somebody has a real desire for something, that creates a malach. And he says sometimes it can create a good malach, or sometimes it can create a bad malach. And he says Bilam actually created, with his desire to do bad, a malach that announced to him, Bilam, go with them. It wasn't Hashem telling him that. It was a malach that he created from his desire to fail, from his desire to mess up. And the Marsha says over here that the more a person builds his ratzon, and the reason I'm telling you this is not to insult anybody. Do you think that I would ever suggest that anyone here really wants to fail? No. What I'm suggesting is we didn't think about how much we want to succeed. What I'm saying is if we don't sit in a room and think about how much we'll benefit from succeeding, we're going to leave without really wanting to succeed. Of course, all of us want to succeed, but we didn't think about how much we want it. Right? When you go on a diet... Right, which is a very hard thing for me. I find in Corona I picked up quite a few pounds, and I go in and out, you know, trying to. Anytime I stay off cake and cookies, I don't need any fancy diets. If I stay off cake and cookies, I'm losing the weight. But you know, after a stressful day, you know, the cookies are there. My wife's a good baker, and you know, I have to make these decisions, right? So the question is, how much I really want it. So now, sometimes if I sit myself down and, you know, think about how great it is to be light and run without all this weight on me, right? Or maybe some doctor will give me like a real vision of what it's like to have so many cookies in your system over 25 years or something. Then instead of wanting it like I want it, it's I want this! I want to be thin! I want to get this! It's a bigger rutzen. It's a real, real rutzen. Versus like, nice to shed a few pounds, like cookies are better, boom. Done. So there's a chance over here to build our rutzen. Person sits with himself and says, I've never met somebody who's happy after they fail. I've never met someone like that. The person who fails, he feels bad because he feels that he's done something beneath himself. In whatever area, so we have to remind ourselves before. Remember, Yetzirah, you told me last time that this would be a good chill. And I fell for it, and I remember right afterwards, I felt so bad about myself. And I'm like, he got me again. We have to remind ourselves before. We have to remind ourselves before the quality of life, of making decisions that are good for us, of being clean from all types of temptations. And if the more we want it, the more we get a tremendous siyata dishmaya. Rav Elia Lupian actually said that he held that the whole avodas Hashem is derech she'adam rotza lelech malich nosa. Rav Matisyahu Salman quotes his rabbi Rav Elia Lupian as saying that really Hashem's in charge. So where are we making our big decisions? The path we want to take. Also, what does it mean a path, my friends? It doesn't say the action that I do. Hashem sends me to that action, even though the concept seems to be true. But what does it mean a path? There are paths in life. There are paths. A person wants to go on a path, right? A path. A path is something. You know, when I was younger, I'm reminding myself, I haven't said this ever in a shmuz. Rav Dan Segel says that whenever something comes to your head during a shmuz, a maisa or whatever, you should say it. This thought has not come to me, maybe the thought, but I've never articulated this since in over 20 years since it happened. I remember when I was in yeshiva, I was probably 17 or 18 years old. There was somebody who had I think it was called the Far Side. I don't know if it's still around. Far Side Comics, still around? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, these are like really brilliant comics. So this guy had by his bed, and he was a stark guy in yeshiva, a role model. He had a Far Side comic with a guy standing at two paths. And there was like two directions, and you could see how the paths. He's standing there, like, trying to figure out what to do. And the way it works is you see miles and miles ahead that these paths are, like, completely in different places. Like, he's going to end up in a different country. And there are no other paths. There's just grass and these two paths. And he's standing there like this. And I haven't thought about this enough, but I think the Rabbeinu Shlom just plopped it into my head right now. That's a path. And that's a motivator. If you just think about, should I do this? Now I'm thinking this will help my diet. But if you would think just, should I eat the cookies or not? It's not even going to grab a person. But if a person understands that he wants to go on a path, that's even a bigger motivator. There's a path over here. Bilam was a real Rasha. You know why? He didn't just want gold and coins and covet. He had a bad path. I mean, he was like, he was a visionary in bad. His derech was bad. So if we can figure out what we want from ourselves, a derech, and to understand that these things are not isolated actions, but rather one success after another breeds a certain level of character. Of character. What is character? When you look up to a parent or a peer, right? What does it mean to when you look, or even at a levaya, also often when they talk about this, a man of principle is someone who doesn't budge on certain things. He has things he stands for. Not just things he doesn't do or does do. He stands for this, right? He stands for honesty, right? He stands for being a good family man. He stands for kvias itim l'toira. It's something he stands for. It's not something he does, it's what he stands for. That's a derech. A derech is where you see in the person a vision of who he is, of what he's doing, of where he's going. And we have to start thinking in terms of drachen, in terms of drachim. If things happen, you know, it was beautiful at Max's Siyum. You know, the common thread at the Siyum was a derech. Was not the Siyum of Baba Metzia. I felt like it was a derech, like a man who picked a mahalach, and then the mesechtas come. Those are isolated phenomena on the path. But the hardest thing is first, the derech, is what path do I want to take? But that's also something that inspires a person. It's like, you know, when they see the beauty of that path. They see the beauty of that path. So that's the first thing, is to really want something. We once had a bacher in yeshiva, many, many years ago. He told me that he decided unequivocally that he will not take the light rail. It was actually when the light rail just came out. So I wonder how many, we could probably figure out how many years ago this was based on that. When was the first year of the light rail? Anyone know? It was a bunch of years ago. Anyway, he decided the light rail wasn't for him. He had too many nisyonas on the light rail. And it was Erev Shabbos, and he had very little money, and he had a lot of pressure from friends. They needed to get to the bus station, and they're all pushing him, go, 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 and he had no other way to go, and he was stuck with very little money and pressure, and he had this Kabbalah that he wasn't going on the light rail. Mamish did not know what to do. And he said, literally, at that moment, a group of Bachram that he did not know had a bind. They had to get to Tachana Merkazit. They needed somebody to join. He had enough money that they accepted him to join, and boom, he was off to Tachana Merkazit. It's incredible. Incredible. Literally, at that moment, it was like, but it came because what that showed me was that this Bachram really made a decision. He did not want to go on the light rail. It was something that there was a derech issue over here. And we have to realize we get siyata d'shmaya. But what I'm pitching over here is to try to think about what we want. You can't get the siyata d'shmaya of b'derech shadam rotze leilech without sitting in a quiet room or going for a walk before Ben Azmanim, thinking, where do I want to be going in life? Then, even without the Gemara Makkos, but I'm sure it includes the Gemara Makkos, when you confront a Nisayan in America or whatever country you're from, you say, I thought about this already. I dealt with this. This is not what I want. Not just because it's not just for the action of it, but I decided I don't want this type of lifestyle. That's a much more powerful decision. It weakens the Yetzer Hara much more when he hears that you have a decision about your life, because it's like, whoa, that's heavy. Like, I could always afford eating a chocolate chip cookie, right? But if I make it, like, that's not what I do. That's not where I'm going. It's much, much stronger. And we have to keep that in mind. We have to really try. And I want to add a point here, and this is a very important point. Very important point. And I'm basing this on something that I learned from Rabbi David Abu Chatzera, the big Makubal in Nahariya, an amazing Gadol B'Yisrael, such a wise man, so down to earth. Many people go to Makubalim for, they have in mind spooky things. I've heard such just wisdom of Torah from him. The reason I appreciate Rabbi David Abu Chatzera is his tremendous insight. And this is based on something that I heard from him. And we have to understand what it means, what the stakes are in any given situation. There are levels of challenge. A person can be challenged where their Yetzer Hara is really, really attacking them. Yosef HaTzadik was in such a situation. He was being sucked in, mamish day in, day out. I don't understand what he was going through. I can't understand it. And obviously, if it made history, he was being pulled in by the Sitra Achra. Okay? That type of Nisayan, so that's a real Nisayan, and a person could either pass or fail. There's another Nisayan which we have to be wary of, which is the Nisayan of boredom. Boredom is not a taiva to do something terrible. It's just not knowing what you're doing today. A person has to realize that if they're just feeling bored, that's not an excuse to take a revolver and kill themselves, right? Like, I'm bored, so let me just kill myself, right? We don't do that when we're bored, right? We try to figure out something to do. But today, people are playing with guns, meaning because of only boredom, they'll end up jumping into something that they could have never imagined. Person has to realize, if I'm bored right now, let me find something to do, but not let me find something terrible to do. If a person, excuse me for saying this, but if a person has an awesome drive for something terrible, so then there's a melchama, and we don't want him to fail, but if he fails, we understand that's, but if he's just bored, so then boredom can never excuse this type of thing. This is what I heard from Rabbi David Abu Chatzera. He said that this is the big problem with this generation versus other generations. He said other generations needed a very big nisayon to fail. And in this generation, just simply out of having nothing to do, they'll do things that are against their principles. If someone has a derech, has a real derech, right? Has a real derech. It would be like me, who's working on losing some of that weight, right? Coming home on a day that I'm not hungry, that I'm not even like, I'm not having anything. The cookies are not even on the table, bichlal, right? They're not in the freezer. That's my second place to look, right? And like, and I'm fine. And all of a sudden, I'm like running around Ramat Eshkol looking for an open makot. Like, calm down. Like, I wasn't even hungry, bichlal. If I was hungry, fine. But we don't look for problems. Save the problems for when there are problems. Today, the vast majority of nisyonos we have, listen to this, because I'm telling you this is worth millions of dollars. The vast majority of nisyonos we have, we bump into when we were not having a nisayon in the area of Arayas. We were simply just bored. Person has to protect himself when he's bored and make sure that things don't come up that are going to be a problem. Boredom is not an excuse for these types of things. Now I want to just talk about basic etzas for Bein Hazmanim. The first etzah, this is from Rabbi Rucham Lavavitz, is Yafeh Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Talmud Torah and work, making a parnasa, they're good together. Why? Sheyigias Shneim Mishkachas Avon. Because toiling or working or schwitzing in both of them, learning and making a parnasa, make you forget doing a chet. Rav Yeruchim, this is his derech, is he takes Chazal's words very seriously. If you translate this literally, it doesn't sound like the most yeshivish message. It says that Torah with parnasa will make you forget avon. So he says, I understand Torah. Torah, of course. Torah, Talmud, Torah, Gnei, and Kulam. There's nothing better than Torah. Rav Yeruchim says, yeah, but when a person's exhausted and they've worked a hard day and they have no energy, that's also Kodesh Kedush. Because it keeps you away from averas. You had so much to do today. You were so busy. A person has to be busy during Bein Hazmanim. They have to have what to do. Being busy is Kodesh Kedushim. It's Kodesh Kedushim. I would add, this. Rabbi Rucham doesn't say this, but I would add that playing ball, playing sports, anything and everything that's a positive outlet that just gets you to be busy is Kodesh Kedushim today. We're in a different world today. We're in a different world. We're in a situation where we're really trying to stay away from things that make us feel. What motivates me to speak this way? Why am I doing this? What motivates me is I hate to see the looks of disappointment on Bachram when they come back from Bein Hazmanim. I love the confidence of Bachram who come back having had successful Bein Hazmanim. It comes from that. It doesn't. I wish I was more religious, but I can tell you that it's an unbelievable thing for people to feel like I had a goal to be above certain things. I was able to do it. And therefore, a person who just knows that they should be doing this, if a person doesn't have what to do over Bein Hazmanim, they're in trouble. You have to find something to do. I can't tell you what to do. I have no idea what you should do. But a person has to be very, very busy. Very, very busy. Boredom, even if it's not an excuse, is a very dangerous thing. We have to stay away. Yigia shneim mishkachas avon. The Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Nun Zayin says, "Batala mevili dezimam." Being idle and having nothing to do causes trouble. So, in terms of our Yiddishkeit, the best thing to do also, when a person wants to be successful, start the day right. There's halachas of Zman Kriya Shema, but the main thing is, and obviously Zman Kriya Shema, but a person can go to a later minyan, but a person should know, where do I go? What do I do in the morning? I've noticed that people who've started their day properly, where they feel like they get up at a certain time, and they go through their day, they feel like a winner when they wake up. Many people, forgetting the areas of halacha over here, but when a person wakes up at very late times, they feel like they're a schlepper and the day is schlepping and they don't really feel like they're a success b'chlal. Person should take it very seriously, if anything, to be mekabel on themselves, to have a time they wake up. There's a minyan, again, I don't know this zman for zman kriya shema, but I don't know, I don't want to make up times. But let's pick the word, the time, 9 o'clock. They know there's a 9 o'clock minyan, it works for them, and they go to a 9 o'clock minyan every day. They feel like they are successful. Also, whenever you're at davening is a time where you're in the mode of Yiddishkeit. It's very chashuv to have something, some type of learning, next to a davening while you're in shul. And it's much easier to succeed then, because it's a time where you have, that's real home court advantage. Home court advantage today is not your house. Home court advantage is shul. So if a person could get a chavrusa with somebody, and preferably somebody who's annoying and more dependable than you. You know, like one of those guys, like, where are you? I'm like, I'm coming, right? You know, like one of those guys you would never want to learn with during the Zman. That's the guy you need to learn with Beit HaZman, that annoying guy. If he's like you, he's like, I'm sorry, you know, my grandmother's cleaning lady, she canceled. Like, your grandmother's in Florida, I know, but my mom's bent out of shape and I had to counsel her, like, so I couldn't call. Like, that's not the type of guy you want to learn with in Beit HaZman. People who have excuses don't really want to do it. It's true. The people who have excuses become underachievers, and they become grumpy old 80-year-old men who discuss what everybody did against them their whole life, and they're just victims and they're losers. Don't get a chavrusa with someone like that. Get a chavrusa with somebody that really, he's like a rock, and you know that you're going to be the one who messes up. So it doesn't have to be from our yeshiva, meaning, because I don't, you know, in the crowd, one of you could feel this guy is for you, and like now the stock's going up on everybody. It could be even someone in your community you want to just catch up with. But if it's next to a davening also, there's much more likelihood to succeed, and the time doesn't really matter as much. The Maharal says a beautiful idea. He says, when Hashem gives us the Din HaGadol at the end of our lives, he asks us, Kavata Itim LaTorah, were you Koveya Itim LaTorah? And the Maharal's Medayik, it doesn't say how long you learned. It doesn't say that. Of course, you get Skar for every minute you learn. And you should learn in all your available time that's available to you. The Stipler's Hagdara of Bittul Torah is when a person has available time to learn, however you define available, and he doesn't use it. But that's not one of the first questions they ask you. The first questions they ask you is, did you set a time in your schedule to learn? It doesn't say how long it was. Why? The Maharal says because that's a derech issue. That's a character issue. It doesn't matter how much you learn. The fact that in your schedule, if you look in your schedule, whether you put your schedule in your phone or you have a calendar you write in like me, the old-fashioned people, right? The fact that you have Hashem in your calendar in the day means you're a Ben Olam Haba, because you have a meeting with Hashem, right? A person who's a working man, but he has a specific shir that he goes to. That shir, by virtue of the fact that it's in his day, just like anything else, and maybe even more, he'll cancel everything else before this thing. That means he's a Ben Olam Haba. It's a character issue. It's not a time issue. It's a definition in the person who he is. So a person who has a kfiyas itim is a different type of person, and his day is that much different. And that's a very good tool. Another tool that we have, so we went over, one tool is to make sure that the day starts right. Again, a time that's realistic, but you can set that's basically your time that you get up. Another thing is that when a person's at shul, that's the best time before or after. That could be for mincha or ma'ariv either. Mincha or ma'ariv is also a time to set up a learning either before or after. And also with a chavrusa, that's a dependable chavrusa. That's somebody that's much more dependable than you. Then there's another thing. Sometimes a person would like to learn, but it's just like not going. I know I'm very guilty of this. Sometimes I'm like looking at a Gemara and Ben Azman, I'm just like, no, like I can't do this. Like no. And then it took me a while to figure out how to deal with this. I always go through these different issues. Every person has to deal with them on their own way. But today, a person could put on earphones, right? Find a shir. I recommend an interesting shir. You know, not just a shir that goes through a daf like lifeless. Just if the Magid shir is alive, he can get you alive, right? I recommend someone who's alive, someone who can. But you just sit there and just sit with an iced coffee and a lazy boy, and just relax and let the man talk, and you know, try to follow the Gemara. But it's such a great gift. We have so much. We have millions of hours of tzaddikim, of talmidei chachamim, who are at our disposal every day, and it's sometimes it's much easier to be talked to than to learn. We have to know how to cut our losses. We have to know how to capitalize. Person could be mechazik himself in a car. You have to be careful learning heavy things. But if a person wants to hear an entertaining schmooze in a car, so there are a lot of car rides over Ben Ismanim, they've learned that day. There was a lot of Yiddishkeit. It could be they got a few moments of inspiration in the car. We have to capitalize on the milas of technology. There are tremendous milas. And what I think we're going to try to do is one thing we discovered over Corona. Again, Corona was a very dark period, but there were some brachas that were able to be seen. And one bracha was this relationship with Zoom, doing Zoom day in and day out wasn't so great. But I've had great experiences with Zoom, with chavrusas and vadim and especially if it's not long term. Zoom is a great way for us to connect, and the yeshiva is going to try to be offering connections. I had an idea. I'm not sure if the island wants to do this or not. Maybe we could go over my new English sefer, just read from it and make some comments, just so that we could, you know, get together. And again, it's not always is the time good for everyone. That's the problem. But we could make it available, like whoever wants to do it live or whoever wants to hear a recording later. And there are going to be other options to connect to Eretz Yisrael, and it won't even be very long. It could be 10 minutes. It could be 10 minutes, and that would be enough to just keep us connected to Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. For me, I've enjoyed Zoom so much. Like, sometimes, like, there's some milas to it that, again, being in person is great, but Zoom has a certain mila for the listeners also. You don't have to get all dressed up for it. You know, there are stories of professors who, you know, went into their classes with, you know, bathrobes, or if they didn't have, if they had a little busha, they could wear pajama pants and nobody will know, and slippers. So the mila of Zoom is you don't have to leave. It's brought right to you. We can capitalize, but we have to really want to win, my friends. That's the main message over here. Is we have to really want to win. We have to really want to win, and we have to think about how much we want to win. To take a few moments before Ben Azmanim and think about how much we want to be successful, and then we'll be zocha to the tremendous siyata dishmaya of v'derech shadam rotze leilech, the derech that Adam is roitze. Wants to go on, right? Wants to go on. Molichin oso. He's going to be guided. The Marsha's Medayik. It says Molichin. It sounds plural and like, well, it's not Hashem. It's like an entourage of Malachim. There's like Malachim surrounding you to try to help you be successful. Molichin oso. You know, there's an entourage. We should all be Zochet to that Ziyat Dishmaya. And I want to just leave with one thought. I forgot to say it, and it's important, so I'm going to, even though it's a good ending, but it's not important, the ending. The idea is the information, which is that if a person makes a mistake, if a person falls in a certain area, there are two ways they can respond. One way they could respond is what I call the water slide mentality. the water slide mentality is, I don't know if you've ever been on a water slide, but I have, and they're scary because, like, you feel like once you make this decision to go doop, like, over, you're done. Like, the water slide, it, like, just takes over, and, like, then next thing you know, you're on this water slide, and, like, that's it. There are no more decisions after that. Or a person could feel like if he made a mistake, he could get freaked out, he could regroup, he could call a Rebbe, and the rest of his Beinus Mana will be fine. Will be fine. I've seen that happen, by the way. The most common problem is what I call the water slide guy. He does one thing wrong, and then he calls you 3 weeks later, Rebbe, the past 3 weeks have been H-E-L-L. Like, and then there's another guy who says, Rebbe, you're not going to believe what happened last night. We go, okay, it happens to the best of us. Let's regroup. And it became the best Beinus Manim of his life, Fakert. He was so shocked how after 2 days he already was in such a bad place that shakeup actually gave him the best Beinus Manim he ever had. In a war, we have to be able to get shot and get up. In a war, you can't afford to get shot and just lay there. The enemy's going to find you. You just pick yourself up, you know, somehow, like, remove that bullet, right? And just move forward. And we should all be zocha to have an incredible Beinus Manim with all of the brachas, all the yeshuas, and the bracha of Haba L'Tayr Messiah Nisai.